Hey guys, welcome to episode number 3 of Once Upon a Podcast. We'll be recapping the second episode of Once Upon a Time today, which is called The Thing You Love Most. I'm Brianna.
And I'm Serena, and here we are going to recap every episode of Once Upon a Time and compare them to their corresponding fairy tales, as well as with a bunch of other Disney movies.
So usually now we talk about Marvel Disney news, but we've had a problem with watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Two episodes are already out and we haven't even started yet.
Yeah, we're seriously behind. That's on our agenda for this weekend. So we'll get back to you when we actually start the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the next episode probably, but for now we don't really have any Marvel and Disney news because the last episode we had so much, but
yes. Yeah. But we have done some other show watching or movie watching, specifically Brie, you have started a show.
Oh yeah. So I started watching this new Netflix show called The Irregulars, and I started watching it because I knew that Harrison Osterfield is in it, and I know who he is because he's friends with Tom Holland, and I used to be like, okay, I'm still obsessed with Tom Holland, but I used to be, like, major obsessed, and so I, like, knew a lot of random things about him. So I, like, found out about this dude, and he kept posting about the show, and I was like, I don't know if it'll actually be good, but I might as well just, like, watch it to support him, because I feel this weird obligation to that. So I started watching it, and I started watching it on Friday, and it is Saturday now, like, I've almost finished the show in 2 days. I only have one episode left, and I probably could have finished it by now, but I really don't want it to end, so I'm just, like, dragging it out, because once it ends, I'll be really sad, and it's, like, I've been hooked on this so bad. Like, I usually don't get this obsessed with shows. Like, I like a lot of shows, but I never get this attached to them.
Yeah, it's really funny because all of today, well, not all of today, but we had a conversation earlier today that we were talking about this show because she was watching it, and she turns to me and she goes, I have one episode left, but I'm not gonna watch it because I want it to last, and I don't want it to end, and I'm gonna be depressed when it ends.
It's just, like, so good, and it has, like, such a cheesy romance, but I live for those things because I do not have a boyfriend, and I'm a romantic, and I want these cute things to happen to me, so I have to watch them through a TV.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show. This is all Brie, but you may end up rewatching it because I want to watch it.
And if anyone's interested in it that's listening, it's basically based on Sherlock Holmes, but it's like a supernatural twist on it. So there's like, I don't even know how to explain it. There's like almost like witches and stuff involved. Like not actual witches. It's very like, it's a little complicated. But, it's, like, very supernatural, and there's a group of 5 kids that basically are hired by Dr. Watson, who works with Sherlock, and he wants them to, like, investigate these different things that are happening. And, one of the people is this Prince of England, and he, like, randomly sees this girl, and he falls in love with her because it's love at first sight, and so he wants to meet her, and he gets dragged into it with the other people, but it's super fun and cute, and it has, like, a little mystery twist type of thing into it, so I feel like some people might be interested, so I wanted to, like, talk about it just in case.
Yeah, I mean, Sherlock Holmes mystery plus Cinderella story sounds like a great show.
Yeah,
I used to, not used to, I still love mysteries. There was one point where I just read all of the Sherlock Holmes series. It's big series, but I always needed things to read when I was going to Japan, especially because it's a very, very long plane ride. So I downloaded a lot of the set, if not the entire set of the Sherlock Holmes books on my Kindle and read it, because all of those physical books would be an entire suitcase. So
I mean, I would do that. I love to hold books, and like, I just can't with online books. I know it's easier and more accessible and cheaper, but I need them in person, like in paperback.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer physical books over online books any day. It's so much easier to read, in a sense, and also it's so much more satisfying to have a book and turn the pages rather than touch a screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. But yeah, I mean, for convenience, I'm not going to take an entire other suitcase of books because it's expensive. Yeah, so.
Yeah. The only mystery books I read were when I was little, and it was the Boxcar Children. But I owned, like, so many, but one of them randomly went missing, and I think, like, we went on a car trip for Girl Scouts, and a few girls were with us, and then one of my books I brought in there, and it went missing, and I don't know if it got lost in the car or if someone stole it.
Maybe somebody was trying to start a mystery for you, like, I stole this book, and maybe I'll lead you to it, like, with clues.
I was so sad. I was obsessed with those books, and I owned so many.
How far did you get? Because I read so many of those as a kid, too.
I don't know how far I got, because I think there were a few where I skipped around.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Only one I remember like a lot. Did you read the basketball one?
The basketball one?
Maybe it just stuck out to me because I used to love basketball, but it was a blue cover. I think I don't know.
Wait.
It might have been like number 19 or something.
Oh, wait, I don't know, because I remember we owned 1 through 10 for sure. So I know I read all of those, and then after that it got iffy.
I want to know if I'm right. Oh, it's 68. I'm so wrong. Okay. But yeah, I had like random ones. And I think like I got into it because I was in this reading group in like first or second grade maybe. And in the group I was in, we got to read like a chapter book. So we started reading Boxcar Children. And then I got obsessed with it. And I also had not all of them, but I had a lot of Magic Treehouse and Junie B. Jones.
Yeah, okay, Junie B. Jones, I think my parents just didn't like the way that she talked in the books.
I mean, I don't blame them.
Yeah, so they never really bought me those books, but I definitely had a ton of Magic Treehouse books. Specifically, the one that I remember is when they were in Europe or something, and there was a stone lion on the cover. I think.
The one I remember is, it's probably, like, the first one, but the dinosaur one, I think it's called Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I do remember
and
that one.
And then there was also one where it was, like, medieval. Like, yes. They went to a castle and stuff.
Wasn't it, was that, the Round Table?
It might have been.
What is this even called? I can't even, Magic Treehouse. Magic Treehouse and Medieval. Let's see.
It was probably one of the first ones.
The Night at the Dawn. Oh, I loved that one.
Yeah, I definitely had that.
And wait, there's another one that looks familiar. Haunted Castle?
I don't think I read that one.
Oh, I wonder if that one's number 30, so I'm not sure if I read that one, actually.
Wait, I think I had that, but it was in hardcover.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always randomly skipped around the books. Because, like, for a series like that, it really doesn't matter.
Right. Because
they're all, like, they make so many, and each one is kind of its own thing. They don't really connect.
Right.
Oh, Dinosaurs Before Dark.
Yeah, that is the first one. You were right.
Yeah.
So, I remember this cover with a pterodactyl. The only reason I know what a pterodactyl is because of this book.
Honestly, probably same. Yeah. That's probably how I learned how to spell pterodactyl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you ever read Diary of a Wimpy Kid or Dork Diaries?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I was obsessed with Dork Diaries, but they made the little sister, like, the crazy little sister, they named her Brianna, and it made me mad.
Wait, really?
I was like, why'd they make the crazy one my name? Because my name is never used in books ever. Like,
really?
I've noticed that because I've always wanted a character to have my name. And it's always, like, other common names, but my name is never in a book, ever. And then they put me in that book as a crazy person.
Okay, new mission. I'm going to write a book with your name in it.
They might have more now because my name is so common now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, in newer things, they might use Brianna. Yeah,
that surprises me that your name isn't in a bunch of books.
It just, like, made me mad because, like, I don't know why. It's just, like, I wanted to be represented, I guess. There was a series I read. And I don't know if you read it, but it was some kind of fairy series, and I forgot what it was called, but basically each book was a different fairy, and my mom did find one with my name on it. And, there was a fairy book with Brianna as the main fairy, and so she bought me that one.
Interesting.
I forgot what
this
it's
is
called.
Not...
Look up a series.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's these.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Wait, I have that one. Ruby. I have the Ruby, the Red Fairy.
Okay, for those of you listening, we're talking about the Rainbow Magic books.
I had so many. They were so good. I have to look up the one with my name.
Yeah.
Rainbow Magic Brianna book.
I totally forgot about these, but I so read them.
I can't believe my mom found one with my name. But it's called Brianna. Oh, I guess she's the Tooth Fairy. And it's a special edition. I think I had the special edition one.
That's crazy. I don't remember any of the ones that
I wonder if there's a Serena one. If they have, it's probably spelled wrong.
Probably.
Oh, they have Serena the Salsa Fairy. And it's not spelled like your name is spelled.
Is this a premonition? Am I going to become a salsa dancer?
Yeah, I definitely don't have that one. But I had so many Rainbow Magic books. Oh my gosh, they were so good. I wonder if anyone listening to this has read them.
That would be so funny. Because this feels like something very niche that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I'm surprised you knew about it.
I'm surprised that you remembered it.
I have, like, all of them.
That's crazy.
I wonder if I still have them, or if I gave them to my sister, or if we gave them away.
I'm pretty sure we gave ours away. There are so many of these, though. I'm pretty sure I only read the original ones with the colors.
Yeah, you probably did.
But wow, there are so many.
Yeah, children's authors, like, go at it. Like, do you know who Chris Colfer is?
No.
Okay, so he was on Glee, but now he's an author, and he writes a series called, like, Land Before, like, Time or something. Or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, this guy. Okay.
Yeah, but he has, like, so many of those books. Because he just, like, writes them. He started writing them when he was on Glee, which is really cool.
Wow.
But yeah, he has so many.
That's crazy that you can both write books and act and be good at Land of... Oh, I know these.
Yeah, I always see them, and I would totally have read it when I was younger, but now I'm, like, I'm not really in that, at that kind of level, and I feel like I wouldn't really enjoy them.
This looks really legitimate, though.
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm sure... It seems very popular, because at my Barnes & Noble, they always have it in, like, the new section. So I'm sure a lot of kids read it.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, he's really cool. I love him.
That's awesome. Oh, imagine being so popular on a TV show and then being able to write your own books.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Okay. Anyways, well, we went on a tangent.
Since we're talking about books, do you want to talk about Shadow and Bone, since we both read that?
Yes. So, there's a TV show coming out called Shadow and Bone.
Yeah, and it comes out on April 23rd, which is really fun.
Yes. And I don't really know much about the TV show, but apparently a lot of other people do, and Brianna got the series that goes along... Well, that was made first, before the TV show.
Yeah.
The books are the original, and the books are better, always, guys. But yeah, so she got... It's a three-part series, right? A trilogy?
Yeah, it's a trilogy, and then there's also a duology that is kind of the same universe that they're integrating into the show, but I don't have those yet.
Fun fact, I had no idea duology was a word.
Oh, me neither. I didn't know until someone said it.
Oh, Kate?
Yeah, I think I heard her say it.
Yeah, that might have been. Because she gave me the books was a duology.
Yeah. I think she mentioned it, and then I was like, oh. Because I never read series that are two books. Usually they're three or more.
Right. Duologies are really rare.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
But back to Shadow and Bone. So, Brie read it first, obviously, because they're her books, and I'm not going to read her books first. She read it first.
I read it pretty quickly, considering we're at college. And you read it even faster.
So as soon as she gave me the book, it was like the day after, right?
Or yeah, because like I think I gave it to you at night or something.
Mm-hmm. And the morning of, it was Saturday, and I didn't really have too much to do. And usually in the mornings, I get up and Bree's asleep, and I just usually find something to do that's quiet, which is usually work or emails or something like that. But this morning I was like, you know what? I have a book. Why don't I read it? So I read the entire thing in one morning, and I was done by like, I don't know, 11 or something.
Yeah, I think you read it in like 3 hours, and I was like, that... It's a short book, but it's still, like, 300 pages. Like, I can't read that fast. And yes, it's a good book, but that's still really fast.
I got really excited.
I mean, it is really... The first book is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, because I always love the first books of series because they set up the world, and that's what, like, gets me so invested. Mm-hmm. So I always get so dragged... I get so drawn into the first book. Mm-hmm. But then after that, I don't... I mean, like... It depends, but sometimes it's harder for me to keep reading. Because the world building is really cool to me. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the kind of love triangles that happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, I don't know if it's easier necessarily to create the first book, because there is that world building, and there's a lot of ways to do that wrong.
Yeah.
But I think resolving it can be really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, resolving a love triangle, resolving, like, oh, is it a happy ending? Is it a sad ending? I don't know. It's, I think resolving books and ending them are really hard. So, first books are fun, because you don't have that stress that you have to, at least for the author, you don't have to.
Oh, yeah, there's not, like, the pressure to, like, keep it so good, because... Whenever the first book comes out, if it's received well, it's so hyped up, and you have to, like, meet the expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, second books are so much pressure. If I ever write a book series, I would hope that I write them all first, and then publish the first one. So no matter how it does, I still, like, have the rest and can just...
It's crazy, because for J.K. Rowling, when she was writing Harry Potter, she was, like... publishing them and still, like, writing them. Like, she was publishing them as she was writing them, but, like, she still knew, like, how she wanted to end, like, certain characters, mm-hmm. which is so crazy, because that universe is so, like, complicated, and there's so many things that are happening, and I don't get how you could keep all that in your head.
Yeah. I mean, she must have been really invested in, like, really felt and thought of them as individual people and individual stories. But yeah, I don't know how she did that without jotting it down.
Like, right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The whole reason I even wanted to read Shadow and Bone, well, the whole reason I even wanted to watch Shadow and Bone is because of Ben Barnes from Narnia. If anyone doesn't know, he plays Prince Caspian in Narnia, and he was like my childhood crush. And now he's gonna be the main, like, evil character, and I love him, and I'm so excited. And also this dude named that plays Pin in Free Reign. I doubt, like, any of you have watched it except, like, Belle and Alicia, but he's also in it, so
yeah, it'll be fun to watch the show now that we've both read the books, because we both really liked it, so... Yeah.
Well, we've only read the first book, though.
Oh, did I say books?
Yeah. I meant book. Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the second one, and I'm probably, like, halfway or more than halfway, so I might be able to finish the second and third one before,
mm-hmm.
But I definitely won't be able to get to the other series.
Right. I am... patiently waiting for you to finish those books. The second she's flipped to the last page, I'm just gonna creep out of a corner and be like, hi, can I take this from you?
And then
you're
gonna read it in like one day again, and I'll feel so bad for taking so long.
Okay, I don't feel bad, I'm just a very, very fast reader. I read the entire Harry Potter series in like a week, so...
Whoa. Well, yeah. In my defense, like, I definitely, like, got those books, like, over time. Like, I would wait till, like, my mom would buy me them. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't exactly possible for me to read all of them at once.
Yeah.
And I watched the movies randomly, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I only saw the last one in theaters because I was, like, 12 or 11.
Right.
And it was PG-13. My mom and my, well, I went with my friend, but both our moms brought us because we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, like, did not like Harry Potter at all, and I don't know why. She was, like, I guess it was, it's, like, a little dark, I guess, but, like, she's never really was into, like, the action fantasy type stuff I'm into, so, yeah.
Interesting. What kind of movies did she like?
She liked kind of, like, romance stuff, and then, like, historical type things, like, this is a TV show, but she watched Downton Abbey a lot, and she liked that. So I think, like, historical, romance, some musicals, but things that are, like, I don't think things that didn't get very dark, I would say. Whereas I like a lot of shows, but I'm drawn to the dark ones.
Yeah. So the other thing that we did this past week, movie and show wise, was we started watching Hook, the Robin Williams.
Oh my gosh, which movie. I have to say is one of my, okay, I say this a lot about movies, but it's absolutely one of my favorite movies. And I know I say this a lot, but I just like so many different things, okay?
I swear, every movie that Bree starts talking about that she sort of likes, she's like, it's one of my favorite movies.
Okay, but yeah, but I really like Hook a lot. I think I first watched it because it was on TV, and I think my parents actually introduced me to it.
Really?
Which is cool because they didn't really, they would like bring us to Disney movies in theaters, but they didn't really introduce me to a ton of different movies. I kind of have found movies and TV shows on my own. So it's cool to have, like, something like that, mm-hmm. like, is kind of connected to my parents a little bit. And it's just, like, I always really liked it, because I've always been into the whole Peter Pan story. So, yeah, I just liked it. And I always loved Robin Williams movies also. Like, Jumanji, so good. Aladdin, so good.
Yeah, Aladdin's great. I never watched Jumanji. I'm behind on that. But, yeah, I've never watched Hook. So this is my first time watching it. We're only halfway through because we're terrible. And you usually start watching things very late. So far I really like it. It's a very interesting take on Peter Pan.
Yeah, it's very, very different, because I don't want to spoil it, but, like, it takes place after the whole Peter Pan story happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that not a lot of movies do. And it's also not animated. It's real life.
Yeah, which is really cool. Because even though it was made, like, I think it was made in, like, the 90s or something. So it's not, like, the best quality, obviously. But, like, I think, some of the stuff in it is really cool.
Oh, yeah. And Captain Hook in that movie
funny.
He's great. Him and Smee are the perfect duo. And also, they look so much like the cartoon.
I know, it's weird.
Very strange, because they got the mustache and the wig is phenomenal.
They always do Captain Hook well, I feel like.
I don't know, have you seen, there's a Pan, I think it's just called Pan.
Oh, I did not like that movie at all. I saw it in theaters and it was terrible.
But the Captain Hook in that movie is, what's his face?
Isn't it someone that's not evil?
Yeah, it's Blackbeard?
No, there's also Hook.
Oh, right, Captain Hook isn't evil, but I was talking about Blackbeard.
Yeah,
because this movie is also sort of an interesting take on Peter Pan, but,
I think it just wasn't done that well.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman was Blackbeard, and he scared me so much.
Gosh. I've always loved Hugh Jackman so much. I used to just be like, oh my god, Hugh Jackman. And I said his name so much that my sister now knows who he is. So, I mean, she also saw The Greatest Showman, which he's in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm obsessed with him. He was in Night at the Museum, and it was so funny.
He was in Night at the Museum?
Yeah, he was in Night at the Museum as himself, like, on stage. And I don't remember which one it was, but there was this crazy dude. And, he ran on the stage, and he's like, who are you? And then, Hugh Jackman was like, I'm Hugh Jackman. And the dude was like, Hugh Ackman? And that's what he called him the whole movie. It was so funny.
There's a James Corden skit on, like, his show that plays on that or something.
Wait, really?
Like, yeah, something, like, huge something.
That's so funny. But, yeah, I've been such a huge fan of him. Like, he is such a good singer. He's been in a lot of really cool things.
Yeah, so. Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis. I was obsessed with that middle school and high school. Like, I watched that movie constantly ever since I found it at my house, because my parents got the movie, but they never really watched it, so I just took it upon myself to, like, watch it. And then I, like, basically adopted that movie and watched it all the time. And that's how I loved Eddie Redmayne.
Yes! We love him! Yeah, Les Mis is great. I was trying to get into musicals more, and
yeah, I think that was, like, my first, like, movie musical I watched. Oh, besides, really? Maybe Annie.
High School Musical.
That's not, like, a real...
Okay, well...
Like, the first, musical. Like, musical adaptation into a movie.
Oh, I see.
Because okay. I watched Les Mis, and then I watched Mamma Mia, but the first time I watched Mamma Mia, I got scarred, because there's some weird things in it. Like, yeah. It seems like a little adult, like, it's not, but it seems like that, and now I love the movie, but when I was younger, I was a little scarred.
Right. I think Mamma Mia was my first movie adaptation of a musical.
Yeah.
I
also took that movie, because my parents would buy movies and not watch them. Like, they didn't watch those. My mom bought my dad Pirates of the Caribbean. He never opened them. I just, like, watched them by myself because nobody wanted to watch them with me on my computer. I had the time of my life, and that's how I can now watch movies by myself.
That's amazing. Okay, now that we've
had that really fun discussion.
We always take so long on the part that isn't the actual script.
Because we have so much fun talking about these things.
Yeah, that's true. It is a lot of fun.
And I hope you guys enjoy listening to us talk about these things. And I hope we encourage you guys to watch or read these books or movies.
Yeah, honestly, if you are someone like us that as a kid didn't get exposed to pop culture or, like, movies or things like that, maybe listening to us, you can discover something that you might love later.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of recommendations because this past year especially, I've been watching a ton of stuff that's been on my list. Like, I finally watched Inception, which is phenomenal. Forrest Gump. I watched the first Fast and the Furious movie. I feel like I've watched so many. Oh, I watched The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, which are Tom Hanks movies. Mm-hmm. And they're really good, too. So I've been, like, getting into a lot more films, especially. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of recommendations.
Yeah. So listen to this podcast. Don't do what I did as a kid and watch a bunch of YouTube clips of the movies or TV shows. I mean, you get the knowledge, but it isn't half as fun, so.
Yeah.
All right. So, our episode, just so you remember, we're talking about Once Upon a Time.
Episode 2.
Episode 2, yes.
Should we, like, quickly recap the first one?
Oh.
At all?
Yeah, because I guess the last episode was a movie episode.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, it's not, like, super complicated, and we went really in-depth, but basically, we find out that all these fairy tale characters are trapped in a land with no magic in Storybrooke, Maine. And the evil queen casts this curse, and she's now the mayor. We call her Regina. And she remembers everything in the past, but nobody else does. And then also other main characters are Snow White, Prince Charming, Rumpelstiltskin, Henry, who is Regina's adoptive son. And then Emma, who is Henry's mother. And then there's Archie, who's a psychologist, and Jiminy Cricket. I think that's, like, the main people.
Yeah, and I think we should clarify one more time that these people are both in a fairy tale world and the real life world, so they're flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
So,
Well, they're in the real world now, but it goes back to the past.
Right, as a flashback. Yeah. So, when we talk about people, we're kind of talking about two people in one. So,
yeah.
Regina is the evil queen in the fairy tale world. Yeah. Snow White is...
Well, Mary Margaret.
Mary Margaret is Snow White. Yeah. And then... Oh, I forgot all of the other names.
Well, I guess we haven't talked about Prince Charming in the pilot, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he appeared at all, so we don't really have anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Archie Hopper is Jiminy Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Gold is Rumpelstiltskin. That's, like, the main people.
Yeah, those are the main people. We'll refer to them quite a bit. So, just as a guise, that's who they are. So, for this episode, we'll start in the real world that they are all trapped in. So, basically, the episode starts out, Regina finds Henry's storybook, and the storybook, remember, is the, basically the guide to everything that happened in, what's the fairy tale land called?
The Enchanted Forest.
Enchanted Forest, thank you. I spent the entire last episode saying that wrong, so, Enchanted Forest. Yeah, so the storybook is the guide, and she, Regina, is flipping through the pages, and she notices that a few of the pages are missing, ripped out. And so she confronts Henry, her adopted son, who claims that he doesn't know anything about this, which we know is false.
Yeah, she should really not trust him. He will not be honest with her. He's a 10-year-old boy. He has his own plans.
Yeah, and this boy is devious.
He's really smart for a 10-year-old. I would not be as resourceful as he is. He is insane.
I'm pretty sure when I was 10, I didn't know how to, like, open a door with a lock. I can turn a knob, obviously, but...
When I was 10, I was pretending that I was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was... I was pretending I was a superhero that could talk to animals, so... Anyway, Henry's ahead of his time, so Regina shouldn't trust him.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that happens is Regina goes to the bed and breakfast where Emma is staying because she decided to stay at the end of the first episode. And she gives her a basket of apples. And remember, she's the evil queen in the Enchanted Forest, so that's very suspicious.
Yeah.
And then she says that Emma can eat them on her journey home, which is a very not subtle way of saying, get out of my town.
Yeah, she is so pussy. Like, but... I just don't understand why she does that, because if you're more kind, you might be able to more, like, subtly trick them into leaving by, like, manipulating them, but if you're straight out, like, mean, it's gonna make them not like you, and it's gonna make them want to push against what you want and, right. like, fight you more.
Right, exactly. I don't know, sometimes villains in the show really anger me a little bit, because they're not even smart about the way that they're evil. Besides Mr. Gold. Mr. Gold scares me.
Which is why he is the best character. I stand by this. I love him. I know he is terrible. I know he's done terrible things. He is not a good person. But he is so manipulative and secretive, and he seems like he is always knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I really love that.
He is very, awesome. He is a very smart villain, which I kind of love, because while I hate him, I can understand, like, why he would do the things that he does.
Yeah.
And a lot of times with villains, I'm just angry at them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is something that I do like about the way that they portrayed the main, or sort of main, villain.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's the main villain, because the evil queen, he's just, like, I don't even know how to classify him. He's, like, an outsider, but also on the inside. It's so weird.
He's, like, tier 1.5 villain. Regina is tier 1, and Mr. Gold is tier 1.5 and also tier 0.5. Like, yeah. He's both above and below Regina.
Because, like, sometimes he just, like, won't do anything because, like, everyone's doing the work for him.
Right.
But he can really get stuff done if he wants to.
Yeah.
And he can, I feel like he can go so much darker than Regina if he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Rumpelstiltskin. What were we even talking about?
Getting back to our little...
Oh yeah, we were talking about how, why Regina was... We were saying that it's weird that Regina was being so pussy.
Right, yeah. I mean, in context, right, like, why wouldn't you want your adopted son to get to know his genetic mother?
Yeah, like, it's... If you were nice about it, like, usually, like, your son isn't gonna want to leave,
mm-hmm.
in most cases. Like, you have such a connection with them, and it's just important for them to know their history.
You're right.
Like, their family history.
Right.
Obviously, this case is a little different, because he's a little mean, and sometimes she treats him not the nicest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I get... that she's afraid that Henry's gonna like Emma better than Regina, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I think logically, and if she were really thinking three steps ahead, which we kind of are sort of told that she is,
yeah,
she would be more like, hey, you can come get to know Henry, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, give Henry what he wants so that he knows she's on his side.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just her, it's the way her character is, and, like, she just has so much anger inside of her,
mm-hmm.
and that's just how she deals with things, and that's just who she is, unfortunately, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, while Regina is trying to kick Emma out, Emma is not having it. Oh, I guess we didn't recap Emma. Emma is the daughter of,
Snow White and Prince Charming.
Yeah, and she's supposed to break the curse.
Yeah.
And...
she's Henry's mother.
Yes.
Birth mother. So.
Yeah, so Emma is not having it and thinking she's staying for a while, which angers Regina to the max.
To the max.
And Regina tries to threaten Emma again because apparently the apples didn't work, so now she's going to threatening. And Emma just
she
can take
care.
It. Yeah, she doesn't care.
She's a really strong person. Mm-hmm. She can fight anyone.
Right. So then Regina basically declares war and leaves.
Yeah.
And leaves to go talk to Sydney, who runs the newspaper in the town. And context for Sydney, he is the guy in the magic mirror in the Enchanted Forest. But in real life, he's not in the mirror. He's just a person that's kind of like Regina's assistant. Almost. It feels like he is.
It feels like he is, but I don't know. She has him under her, like, thumb, like, mm-hmm. under her control. But he works as a newspaper editor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Which can kind of make sense, because
media,
if you're...
mayor, yeah.
Right, media control is so important in politics,
yeah,
and government.
The government is always trying to do that.
Yeah. Ooh, not to get too political.
Yeah.
But yes, so she has Sydney under her thumb, and so she asks Sydney to dig up some dirt on Emma to try and, I don't know, blackmail her, anything
yeah.
to get her out of the town.
I think also, like, a big thing about it is, even if she can't blackmail her, she wants it because she thinks that if she can pull something dark from Emma's past, so you can use it to push Henry away from her.
Oh, true. Yeah, show Henry the dirt and be like, oh, your genetic mom is a horrible person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of her strategy right now. Sydney didn't end up really finding anything, so Regina got mad and threatened him because she does that to everyone, and also... what else is she gonna do? so, Yeah, so that's that end. On the other hand, Emma is staying, so she's still in town. She goes to Granny's, which Granny's is like a breakfast cafe.
Yeah, it's like, it's basically like a diner, but then it also becomes a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
A convertible restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. yeah, so...
It's basically the only restaurant in town.
Awesome.
Everyone just goes there to hang out.
Fair enough. So yeah, so she goes to Granny's and gets a hot chocolate delivered to her with cinnamon on it. She doesn't know who ordered it. She thinks that Sheriff Graham bought it for her, trying to flirt with her and trying to get to know her. And she walked over with the hot chocolate and was like, sorry, no. Like, this is not happening. I just got here. And Sheriff Graham was like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
So,
And to give you context, Sheriff Graham is played by Jamie Dornan, aka the dude from 50 Shades of Grey. So you know he's gonna be real flirty with her. He's really interested in Emma.
He is very cute and has a adorable Irish accent?
It might be British.
Is it what?
Wait, let me...
What accent is he using? Is it Scottish?
It's something from Europe.
I swear it's Irish.
What if it's nothing? It says he's from the UK, so probably like...
Well, but he has a very specific accent in that show, though. That's different.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Irish.
Maybe it is. Oh, maybe it is. It says he's a Northern Irish actor.
Yes, okay. Okay,
whatever. But yeah, he's very cute and flirty, so.
Yes. So she's kind of, it's a good assumption, because he is sitting right there.
Yeah, and I think he started talking to her mm-hmm. once he got it, so it kind of makes sense, I guess. But, you know, Emma, the world doesn't always revolve around you, even though visually... Most things that happen in Storybook do, this does not. Well, it kind of does, because it's from Henry.
Yeah, so it ends up being from Henry, her son, who's also there. And it's a little cute moment, because they both put cinnamon in their hot chocolate.
I love that Henry saw that interaction with Graham, though.
Yeah, honestly, it was kind of funny, because Henry was watching the whole time, and then he just saunters over, and he's like... No, it was from me.
But yeah, it is really cute that they have this little thing they can share. Because mm-hmm. even though they haven't had a lot of time together yet, they do have this one thing that they both coincidentally like, which is really cool. Like, I wonder how Henry discovered that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that those kind of similar preferences make a huge difference in relationships, especially in ones that... you're trying to start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Like, once you have, like, this one thing in common, it's, like, it's kind of like a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that allows you to make more connections with each other.
Right. A little doorway. So, pro tip. If you're trying to make friends, find a singular thing that's similar. Just random. Like, it could be the type of jeans that you're wearing or some random movie you like.
The amount of people that I become friends with because we all like Marvel is insane. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What was I talking about?
Henry gave her hot chocolate.
Yeah. So basically after this really cute interaction and bonding moment, Emma walks Henry to the school bus and he goes to school.
Yeah.
As they're walking, Henry names their plan to break the curse Operation Cobra. So that's really important because they'll use that term for a long time mm-hmm. in the show. I don't know how long because I haven't watched the show. But yeah. I've been informed.
I would assume, not giving away any spoilers, but I would assume they would use that term until they supposedly break the curse.
Right.
Or if something else happened that messed up everything. But I don't know. Oh, no. I can't say anything.
Is something happening that messes up the curse more? What? Yeah, so Operation Cobra. I don't really know why Cobra. Maybe he just likes snakes. I don't know. But that's what it is.
It just felt right to him, I guess.
I guess, yeah. As they're walking, Emma is about to eat one of Regina's apples that she gave her. I mean, which I don't blame her for, right?
Like, I mean, you're apples? Hungry, I would eat it.
Yeah, probably, like, exactly.
If someone gave me candy, I would take it.
That's concerning. Do I have to accompany you?
Not a creepy person in a white van. Or anyone that I don't know.
Okay, good.
Don't take candy from strangers.
Please don't. Anyway, so yeah, she's about to eat one of these apples, and Henry freaks out because he knows that Regina is the Evil Queen, and we all know the Evil Queen's history with poisoned apples. So he basically just grabs the apple and throws it, which is really funny in the show, at least to me. But, yeah, so then Emma is saved. She basically goes along with what he's telling her because I don't think she's totally on board yet.
She's definitely not, like, growing up the way she did, she thinks that there's no way this could possibly be true. Because I know you don't know a lot about her, you do know, like, a few things, but, she's obviously not had the best childhood or past. And so I think that with the reality she's grown up with, it would be really hard, like, even for someone, like, that's lived, like, a perfectly good life, it would be so hard to imagine this could possibly be true, because it seems like something just out of a book, because it is, like, a fairy tale.
Right. So, like, yeah. Happy endings and all that stuff is really hard for her to imagine being true.
Yeah, so I don't think she's totally on board. I think the main thing is she wants to have a relationship with him, and she doesn't want to hurt him at all, so she's going along with it, because you really have to be careful with kids, because anything you could say could really, like, cut at them, like, and hurt them.
Yeah, kids are tough to deal with, for sure. I mean, they're tough. Kids are tough. They'll come back from anything. But also, it's such a vulnerable time for them.
And they have, what's really cool is they just have, like, the most vivid imagination ever. Like, I wish I still had that. I mean, I feel like I still have some, but as a kid, like, the world is so different. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a completely different perspective. You don't realize, like, I don't know, you're just, like, lost in a fantasy almost. Like, you don't realize how different the world will become as you get older. Because, like, your perspectives change so much over time.
Yeah. Yeah. There are benefits to growing up, but definitely, like, the imagination part of it, it gets harder to call it, you know, to use it when you get older. Not that you can't. You can definitely use it, especially if you continually work at it and practice it. But
I mean, especially, like, if you're a writer, like, that's a good way to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, like, I don't know, even, like, reading a book or watching a movie, like...
Yes, yeah. Just being creative in general is a very good way to use your imagination. Mm-hmm. So, and then Henry tells Emma more about the curse as they're walking, and he gives Emma the pages that he supposedly didn't know about. That he ripped out of the storybook before Regina could get to it, which was very smart on his part.
Yeah, because it was the pages about her.
Mm-hmm. So now Regina, at least for now, doesn't know.
Does she not know that Emma is the, like, okay.
She...
It's, like, weird.
I, at least...
Because, like, how else would she get in?
Right. Exactly.
She must know something's up, but it's really good that she doesn't know that.
Though. Yeah, I don't think she knows exactly who Emma is, because it has been a long time, and that baby could be anywhere.
Yeah, I guess she's just, like, so threatened about, like, her losing Henry. Maybe she's so focused on that, she hasn't thought about the other possibility.
Right, like, she hasn't thought about the corresponding fairy tale.
Yeah, yeah.
Things.
Because she thinks no one knows anything except her.
Right, exactly. So, Yeah, it makes sense that she would be so distracted.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And then Emma meets Mary Margaret.
Yes, so, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so they finally get to the school after walking, and Emma officially meets Mary Margaret, a.k.a. Snow White, who is Henry's teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how she meets her, because she's dropping Henry off at school.
I mean, she technically met her in the first episode, because remember, Henry ran away?
Oh!
But, like, they didn't really have an actual introduction. So, like, it's their first, like, real conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they talk about Regina and also Henry's ideas about Storybrooke. And it's kind of ironic because Emma knows that Mary... Well, she doesn't know yet. She will.
She knows, like, what Henry's told her. Yeah. But she doesn't believe it.
Right. So then, Regina, or sorry, not Regina, Mary Margaret and Emma are talking, and Mary Margaret tells Emma that Henry thinks that Mary Margaret is Snow White, and Emma knows that Henry thinks that she, Emma, is Snow White's daughter. So it's this weird dynamic of Mary Margaret doesn't know that she has a daughter at all.
Yeah.
Emma, Emma is sitting here going like, this could be my mother.
Yeah. But she knows it. She doesn't believe it because they're like the same age. But also, like, I've always wondered why she's surprised by that, because Mary Margaret looks like such a Snow White.
She and, like, does.
Yeah, that's the way she acts too. It's just like weird to me.
Yeah, but I think she wasn't like really thinking in terms of fairy tales when she was walking around this town, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that she wasn't necessarily in her brain like, ooh, who's she gonna be?
That's what I would totally do. Like, if someone told me everyone was fairy tale characters, I would go around town and figure out who everyone is. Like, even if it was a joke, I would do that. Like,
just, like, personality tests.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, but I think in context that Emma's too caught up in having a son that she's not really thinking about that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Mary Margaret tells her that she's Snow White, and Emma's like, whoa.
Cray-cray.
Yeah, so Emma doesn't tell her anything about being potentially her daughter, because she's not really on board with the whole thing yet. So.
Yeah, and that would be so weird for Mary Margaret, because they're, like, the same age, and she'd be like, how are you my daughter? Like, yeah. We're literally both 28, what?
Right, so it's a very weird dynamic, but we know what's going on. The characters don't exactly. Yeah.
It's just so weird. It's always bothered me, because, like, it makes sense with the story, but, like, it's just so weird because everyone's the same age, but, like, they're not actually, like, they're, like, so much older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish that they made
them age.
Yeah.
But then they'd be so old. They'd be, like, 50.
I just wish that the characters looked older than they were. Yeah. Like, 30 or something.
To be honest, I always think first season Mary Margaret looks younger than Emma, because she has such a young, youthful face.
She does. That's true. Yeah.
And she's, like, so skinny. Like, she has looked so small mm-hmm. and young.
Yeah, and I think Emma looks way more just weary and tired through the first season, or at least what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. She goes through it.
Yeah, because, yeah, she has been through it, so I can see why you would think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they have a talk. Emma leaves because she's not just going to stay at the school and distract the teacher. So Emma goes to talk to Henry's psychologist because she's trying to get to know more about Henry through other people.
Yeah, I think she's really concerned about him.
Right, because he kind of is a loner and is really invested in the story.
Yeah, all his energy goes into this fairy tale fantasy thing.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if I was a parent, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she goes to meet Henry's psychologist, Archie Hopper, Jiminy Cricket. They have a talk about Henry's fairy tale obsession, or what that's what they're calling it. And Archie gives her Henry's file. Emma doesn't even ask for it, if I remember correctly.
Like, he straight up, like, is like, oh, do you want this? Like, I can give it to you. Mm-hmm. I wonder who encouraged him to do that. You can't just give away a file. It's confidential information.
Yeah, HIPAA like, laws.
Yeah, there's, like, a doctor-patient confidentiality. Yeah. What? Like, I know she's his mom, but still. Mm-hmm. Everything should be private.
And I kind of find it weird that Emma didn't pick up on the fact that that was weird.
Yeah. I guess she knows Regina's a little suspicious, but she hasn't really interacted with her that much, so she doesn't understand what she's getting herself into.
Yeah, but I guess I was thinking more of, like, her job is to investigate people and look for people, you know?
Oh, yeah, so she's bail bonds person.
Yeah, I don't know what her title is, but, yeah. I feel like she would know the rules of what she can know about psychological files, you know?
But I feel like she is also, her job isn't exactly legal. I feel like she would go to those.
I guess that's true.
She's kind of like a detective. I feel like she would go to those means.
Yeah. I feel like she's more undercover than, like,
yeah,
a traditional detective.
I know her job is not legal.
Right. Okay, in that context, it makes more sense. Yeah. All right. So she gets Henry's file because Archie just gives it to her. And then later, Emma's back at the bed and breakfast, and she's looking through the file, and Sheriff Graham shows up at the bed and breakfast and asks if she took it. And then Emma basically just shows him, and she's like, yeah, Archie just gave it to me. But the sheriff starts to arrest her.
Yeah, I think he arrests her again.
Yeah, and then Emma realizes that she was set up and that Regina has control over everyone. And so Emma gets arrested again. So twice in two episodes.
I'm so proud of her. She's really making strides.
So, yeah. She's in jail now. So, of course, Regina tries to tell Henry and get him to be like, oh, my mom has gone to jail twice in the last 2 days. Maybe I shouldn't be hanging out with this woman. But he doesn't care because he doesn't really like Regina, and he already loves Emma for some unknown reason.
He probably also knows how Regina runs the town, since he believes she's the evil queen, and he's her son. Like, he obviously knows how she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't care, and he basically runs to the jail with his teacher, Mary Margaret, and they bail Emma out of jail, and Emma feels super bad because her son just had to bail her out of jail.
Yeah.
And so.
He's 10.
The stress.
He hasn't even gone through puberty yet.
Can you imagine if you were 10 and suddenly your mom was in jail twice?
And then
you
were like, hey, random adult that I trust, can you bail my mom out of jail, please? She didn't actually do anything, probably.
That would stress me out so much. Oh my god.
Yeah, that would be so stressful. But he seems very calm and collected.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he ever gets disturbed.
This kid, I don't know what's going on in his brain, but good for him, I guess.
I wish I was Henry.
Yeah. So Emma feels bad, and she's trying to explain to him, like, not my fault. I was not trying to do anything bad. But Henry just thinks Emma is an angel, and he's like, oh, I know, you're just trying to get some more info for Operation Cobra. And Emma honestly is just like, oh, you don't hate me? Cool.
Yeah.
So she doesn't say anything about Operation Cobra or anything like that, because she's still not really on board. She gets angry, though, and she goes and all the way to Regina's house.
This is my favorite part of, like, the entire season 1. That's so funny.
Go for it, you deserve it.
So, like, Regina's, like, at her house, and she hears a noise, and she's like, what the heck? And she walks outside, and Emma has a chainsaw, and she's, like, chopping down the branches of her apple tree, and it's so funny.
What a move, you know? Like, you get out of jail, and you're like, this woman has an apple tree. Where can I hit her where it hurts? The apple tree. I'm gonna take a chainsaw and just hack at it in her backyard, in front of her. When she has control over the entire town, Emma could get arrested for this again.
That's totally Mama Bear vibes. I had to say that.
It is, really. Yeah.
She had to protect her son, so she went to chop down the tree.
I feel like she's not even protecting her son at this point. It's just like, you're coming after me, I'm coming after you.
And this is why everyone sips Emma and Regina in season one. Because they're at each other's throats. Oh, there's so much sexual tension.
So she chops down half of Regina's apple tree. Apples spill everywhere. And basically shows that Regina can't scare her. And then Regina obviously is not going to take that for an answer and makes Granny kick Emma out of the bed and breakfast, so Emma no longer has a place to stay.
Yeah, and knowing how small this town is, that's probably the only hotel place.
Yeah, if there's only one restaurant, there's probably only one hotel. So, yeah, Emma legitimately has nowhere to go. And then Regina wants to arrest Emma again because it's in her power to do that. But the sheriff is like, no, twice in 2 days is enough. Thank you very much. And I'm not doing that anymore. And basically, Regina threatens to take his job away. And Graham says he's going to keep supporting Regina because he needs his job.
He needs income. So he can have food and live.
Yeah. But he does warn Regina that her and Emma fighting can only be bad for Henry.
Yeah.
Because Henry has been sort of blessed with two mother figures in his life, but that benefit goes away if they're fighting against each other.
It kind of, like, reminds me of in real life when parents get divorced and then the child gets, like, affected so badly because they end up in the middle and there's, like, these huge custody battles. Mm-hmm. And the parents really want to be able to take care of the child, but they're fighting so much that it's only hurting the kid and the kid gets miserable and starts acting out and stuff.
Yeah, that's basically what this is. Mm-hmm. Except the custody battle isn't even happening yet.
Yeah, it's not even in court. It's just them being crazy.
Yeah. So, Graham has a good point. I applaud him for this.
He's really smart. Yeah. I'm proud of him for standing up to her. Because nobody has done that so far. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Which proves his importance in the story.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later. So then Regina calls Emma and claims that she wants to make peace with her.
Yeah. She, like, waves a white flag.
Yeah, basically. Yes. She's like, you know what, we should figure this out for Henry's sake. They meet and they talk about Henry, and Regina is manipulating Emma to say something about how Henry believes about fairy tales and if she believes Henry or not. And then
it just comes out wrong. Yeah. I feel like I can't remember the exact words, but she definitely does not say it in the correct way.
Yeah. And Henry overhears Emma saying that basically that he's crazy. And Emma realizes that Regina set her up. Henry gets super upset and runs away. And Regina basically wins this round. So, then Emma is really upset that she messed up. She goes over to Mary Margaret's place for advice because she doesn't really have any other friends in this town at this point.
Yeah.
And Emma wants to leave because she thinks that she failed Henry, in a sense. But Mary Margaret was like, please don't, because you're good for Henry. And he needs somebody else in his life that's not Regina. Mm-hmm. So Emma basically decides to stay after that conversation.
Yeah. It's really nice that they had a heart-to-heart.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that Emma went to her mom and asked for advice about parenting.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she doesn't consider her mom yet.
Well, no, but it's ironic that that's how that played out. Mm-hmm. So, which is really weird because Henry is basically Mary Margaret's grandson.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Strange. Okay.
Oh, there's more twisted stuff. I don't know if you know yet. You probably don't.
I don't think I do. It is still the second episode.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but we've watched a little.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Your family tree gets pretty twisted.
Oh, boy. So then, Emma goes back and yells at Archie about the file and apologizes to Henry, and she... Basically, what she does is talk about the fairy tale in a way that makes sense to Henry and mm-hmm. that goes along with what he's thinking. So that, one, she gets him to believe that she believes in it, and two, basically shows that she's on his side. Mm-hmm. So what she says is that she was trying to trick Regina and throw her off their trail by acting like she doesn't believe in the curse. Mm-hmm. And Henry thinks that's brilliant, which it kind of is. Good on her for coming up with that kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really a lie, but... Yeah, good on her for coming up with that explanation. And then Henry and Emma are all good again. They're good friends, slash have a good relationship, because it's mother and son. So then we're nearing the end of the reality. Yeah,
there's one more big thing.
Yeah. So then we cut back to Regina, her fallen apple tree. She's just very angry. And she's trying to clean it up, and she talks to Mr. Gold about, like, what Emma did and all that stuff. And she's basically triumphant because she thinks that she succeeded and Emma's leaving. And Mr. Gold is like, no, I have better information than you. She's not leaving. So, of course, Regina's mad again. But Mr. Gold says he can help Regina to get rid of Emma for a price, because that's his whole deal. He just makes deals and asks for things from people. Regina says she won't be making deals with him anymore, which implies that she has made a deal with him before.
Yeah.
Which we'll see more in the fantasy side of things. But Mr. Gold asks what deal she's referring to, and she basically says, you know what deal. Mr. Gold mentions something about how he brought Henry to her, and asks her how she picked out the name, very not subtly. I can't remember how Regina answers that question, but I think she kind of dodges it.
Yeah, she probably
did. And Regina basically asked him if he brought Emma to town, and Mr. Gold basically says no, and there's just a lot of back and forth accusations about what they know and what they don't know and who has power over what, which is kind of their whole dynamic. Because
they're both power hungry and they want to be the one in charge.
Yes, absolutely. And they both have the power to do it. Well,
I feel like one might have more power.
Mr. Gold probably has the advantage. Yeah. But yeah, they're both very... They just want to come out on top in the end with the power and the everything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much that.
Yeah.
For the reality side of things.
Okay, so now we can talk about everything that's going on in the past in the Enchanted Forest. And so, in the first part of the episode, what happens is it shows again the part where the Evil Queen shows up at Snow White and Prince Charming's wedding. And this is the part we saw in the pilot where she threatens to take away their happiness. And then she, like, disappears. Charming tries to throw a sword at her, but he misses. And then after that, she reappears in her palace and she's with her father, who's also named Henry, which we find very interesting. And then she's also with the magic mirror, of course. And she tells them that she's planning on using the dark curse against Snow White and the rest of her enemies. And they're very much in shock because they know it's, like, so terrible. She never planned on using it and she traded it away. And so they're, like, they don't think she's gonna do anything. And, the Evil Queen's father, Henry, says that she won't be very happy to see the Evil Queen, and that she is Maleficent. So the Queen goes to the Forbidden Fortress, which is a large castle, and this is where Maleficent lives with her pet unicorn.
Yeah, we find it very, very funny that Maleficent has a pet unicorn, just because that's not in any of the other versions of Maleficent or Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, it's super random.
It is quite, like, I wonder what they were thinking when they decided, oh yeah, Maleficent's gonna have a pet unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah, so that once he arrives, we see that the Evil Queen's meeting with Maleficent, and so we see that there's some tension between them. Maleficent knows that the Queen wants the curse back, but she knows it's so dangerous and she doesn't want her to use it. She's very reluctant. So she tries to dissuade her by recommending that she should get a pet, like her unicorn, and she says that pets are very comforting.
Maleficent reminds me a little bit of a cat lady. Just, she has a unicorn instead, which is a very cool pet, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I want a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely gives off cat lady vibes.
Yeah, so the Evil Queen obviously, like, doesn't care what she has to say. She's getting that curse because she needs this revenge. And the Evil Queen targets the unicorn because she knows that Maleficent will defend it because it's her prized possession. And so then she uses that moment of weakness to attack Maleficent. And she's able to get the dark curse and she leaves. And then later in the night, she decides to do the dark curse in the forest, and she does everything, but it doesn't work, and she's very confused. So she goes to Rumpelstiltskin to find out why this happened. Of course, he won't help you without anything in return, so he says that he'll tell her how to fix it if she provides him with comfort in the new world. Which we see that she does uphold that side of the bargain.
Mm-hmm. Well, she kind of has to.
Does she?
I feel like she does. He supposedly
doesn't remember.
He does remember. There is no way that he doesn't remember.
He's too awesome. So he tells her that what happened is she sacrificed the heart of her horse, but she's supposed to be sacrificing the heart of the one she loves most. So obviously using a horse would not work. So unfortunately, she has to kill her father.
So the horse wasn't good enough, basically. And I think
she probably didn't even like the horse.
Probably not. I mean, I think she might have had some kind of little tiny bond to it, but it's nothing compared to her father. And he's like the only person that she confides in, really.
Yeah, he's like, even though she is super evil and doesn't make good decisions, he still has her back and tries to support her even though he knows it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, obviously, like, she's had some stuff happen to her and he knows what she's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And she's his daughter.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Family is family. And yeah. You kind of stick with them no matter what, so.
Faction over blood. It's from Divergent.
Oh! Okay, I haven't read that in a long time.
So, she, like, goes to see him, and he obviously, like, knows what she's gonna do, and he, like, he tries to reason with her, but, like, he knows nothing is gonna come out of it, so he kind of just lets it happen. You know, because, I mean, Even if he tried to defend himself, she would kill him anyway.
Honestly, like, he did try and convince her not to.
Yeah.
Just because he knew that, one, she was going to be alone without any support.
Yeah, and it seems like it's one of those things where there's no going back. Right. Like, darkness will really take a hold of her.
Yeah, just taking someone, a person's life. I don't know how many people's lives that she's taken before this, but especially somebody that she loves.
Yeah, that I think this is really hard for her. Yeah. And it's a lot different than the other people she's killed.
Yeah, you can tell in the show that she's visibly breaking down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really hard choice for her, and I really do think that she was considering not doing it.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what triggered her to do it in that scene.
I think it's that she hates Snow White so much and there's stuff that happened in her past that Snow White really caused something that really, really was bad. I
think
she was thinking of that thing.
Maybe.
Nobody knows, so I guess.
I don't know, but I just, what could make you do that to somebody?
You'll see. I mean, obviously, if that happened to me, I would not kill anyone, but, like.
Yeah. So, the Evil Queen does kill her father, and with much remorse, we do see her putting flowers on his grave, and, like, even afterwards, kind of just regretting her decision, sort of, but she doesn't regret it to the point where she's like, I wish I had not done that at all. She just wishes that she didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, then she actually performs the Dark Curse.
Yeah.
And this time she's successful because she no longer has her father. She no longer has the person that she loves most. She used the actual heart of the person that she loves most.
Oh, yeah. And whenever she kills people, she straight up rips the heart out of their bodies. It's insane.
Yeah, I can't really. It's very hard for me to look at that scene, ever. I know it's fake.
I'm used to it, because she's killed so many people.
I just have pain in my own chest when I see that. But yeah, that's the synopsis of the show.
Yep.
My theories about this, there's not too many. I mean, I kind of put it when we were talking about it, but I legitimately thought after this episode that Henry, the boy, is
the son.
The son, yes. Henry, that Henry was Regina's father come back to life. And hear me out, okay? Because first of all, they have the same name. And they have
a lot of people have the same name.
Okay, yeah, I know Henry's a common name, but still, it's weird. And that Regina still loves Henry, you know, so much, even after he consistently just rejects her. And, I mean, part of that might be guilt, but
I don't think he, like, totally hates her, though.
But, I mean, he's just constantly running away from her and doing everything in his power to stop her. So, yeah. So I thought Henry, and Regina's father, after loving his daughter for so long, if I was killed by my own daughter, I would be mad. Mad enough to come back to life. Okay. So,
but I feel like if he came back to life, he'd try to be like a guardian angel and try to make her make the right decisions.
I don't know. Like, I feel like once somebody kills you, there's just a turning point. You know?
There's just a turning point because you're dead. Oh my god.
So, yeah. And I really did think that was the case. And I'm still not entirely convinced that it's not the case. But we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
And my other theory was that Regina basically just wants to claim dominance over Mr. Gold, but that she owes him a favor like everybody else, because Mr. Gold has control over everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not really a theory. I feel like that's pretty realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
not too much on the theory side, because they're really trying to explain a lot of the things that are happening, so there's not too much to theorize about yet.
There's not anything really, even though there's a lot of detail, it's still, like, they're setting up the story, so I don't think there's a lot to theorize about, because not really a lot of things that are mysterious are quite happening yet.
Right, and they're trying to fill in the gaps before they move design, on. Yeah,
like, design, like, the whole world, build up all the characters, everything,
Mm-hmm. Alright, so that was our episode. We hope you guys liked it.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I hope that you want to keep listening to us, because if you're on this episode, you obviously have seen a few episodes. So I hope that you continue to listen to it. And I hope that maybe if you like it so much, you could tell a friend or family member to watch it and keep sharing it with people, because we would love to have as many people enjoy this podcast as there can be, because I think it's really cool and we want to share it with everyone.
So. Yeah, we have a ton of fun recording this. Right now we're sitting in a bed, just kind of, we've just been kind of talking.
Yeah.
And I think it's really fun that we can share these conversations with you guys.
Yeah.
So, see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.